Are you serious?
So the bet that I made on our Buckeyes only covered 3/4 of my one drink. But I did win, because I took the over. I took the over in the spread. What would that
drink cost at a, like, Dale's?
$8. Well, it was a double, probably 10 or
12. Okay. So that's a good thing to promote our sponsor, then.
That's right. That's right.
Talking about Maction last night.
They destroyed their old nemesis, who's not really a nemesis anymore. I went down to Ohio State and saw some sights and sounds, even though that's a little in the past. We'll talk about that.
Yeah.
We'll go Toledo, Ohio State,
Bowling Green, BG, fired their
shake
offensive
up,
coordinator.
Big shake.
Yeah. Michigan's kind of a
I was actually just reading that by some hacks.
They're off a bye. Michigan's off this week.
So heart of the rivalry is down to 3. We're down to
3.
No.
I do think they're going to lose to Northwestern or Maryland the next couple weeks, though.
Oh, I would like.
Don't you?
I would love a Northwestern win. I do not think Michigan's going to lose.
Sure. Did you see any of the Purdue game? They're not very good.
In Columbus, they had, you know, they have the, you know, the regalia, the side lights.
Yeah.
And Brutus came in. Did you see that?
Oh, on the zip line?
The zip line. Yeah. That was crazy.
Yeah.
But then.
Seems like a tragedy waiting
during
to happen.
During the break. Well, I think the guy, they put the Buckeye nut on some guy. But that guy's got to be like a Navy SEAL.
Oh, yeah.
Because in between quarters, they set up this race.
Oh, okay.
Brutus, an Ohio State fan, and a Penn State fan. Brutus is crushing.
Yeah.
Okay, so the Ohio State fan's in second, and a distant third is our Penn State fan.
Yeah.
And somebody from the Ohio State band in a bubble starts beelining at him.
Yeah.
Like Ronnie Lott.
Yeah.
He sends this kid flying. It was the biggest defensive gasp.
I did not see that.
It was, first of all, I get he's a Penn State fan, but unbubbled. He's unbubbled.
And he still got smoked.
He went flying 10 yards. The stadium gasped so much. And he laid there for a second.
Yeah.
But then he knew, like, there's 100,000 people looking at me. So he gets up and he starts, you know, he's.
Do you think he was legit hurt?
I do. Now, do I think he was legit injured? No.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
But I, dude, he flew. He was horizontal in the air.
I did not see that.
Unbubbled.
You know, we're hermetically sealed in the press box, so I missed that. Was that in the second half?
Bubble on bubble crime is fine. I think it was between the first and second quarter.
I know the bubble on bubble.
It was early. Yeah. Okay, it was early. Okay.
They love their bubbles there.
The audible. When you get 100,000 people making that sound, it's funny. Mm-hmm. It's very unique. Okay, so you ready to do the show?
Start with Maction. Did you watch any of the game last night?
I was not able to watch any of the game, Dave. They sent me to Sandusky to shoot
Division
5 boys soccer. Ottawa Hills advanced.
Oh, wasn't there a completely insane goal?
From 50-yard free kick goal.
I was wondering. I saw the replay real quick, but was it a bad play by the goalie?
No, that goalie was very competent.
Was it like totally
Dave,
just the most perfectly placed shot of all time?
I don't want to take anything away from that Ottawa Hills kid,
but
the wind, that goal is not good without the crazy wind that was out there.
That's awesome.
That caused the goalie to misplay it.
Yeah.
The second half, the wind, it was like 50 degrees, but you could get in that wind and it would slice right through you.
Yeah.
And this kid boots it up in the air and that wind kicks up and it just kept pushing the ball over the goalie's arm.
I saw the replay.
It was nuts.
Unbelievable. Would Tony Miola have stopped it?
No.
What about Otto Orff, the old Cleveland?
It was an unstoppable moment from the hand of God.
Were the Ottawa Hills kids just like, holy smokes? Like,
well, so this is what's funny is you can see by sight the Ottawa Hills kids are about a head shorter than every other player
really?
On the Christian
team.
Yeah. But they're battling. I mean, it's 0-0 with 5 minutes to go in the second half, and this ball falls out of the heavens.
Yeah.
It was like, you know, when you can fool you can do the softball pitch where it goes way up in the air and it fools the batter as they swing up at it. Fell down like that. It was crazy.
Nuts.
And then the goalie, you know, he just has that moment. Because it's 50 yards away. There's nobody around him. So he's got to go get the ball out of the back of the net. And he just has that like meditative, like, how could you do this to me moment alone with the ball. Good sport. That was good sports.
Did you break the journalistic fourth wall and just kind of put objectivity aside and just go, oh my God, I can't believe what I just saw? And you're dancing. And
so I am not a dancer, but I like sports and yeah. I like the performative aspect of sports. So I am definitely like a little vocal.
Yeah.
Not, I'm not screaming, but I'll let out an ocean. Maction. Well, let me.
Well, that's how, I forgot how we were got on top.
We're gonna. Well, you're gonna let me introduce the show. Mm-hmm. Okay. First and foremost,
mm-hmm.
this is the Blades College Football Show, the heart of the rivalry, working within the four college football programs, a bubble, if you will, of Ohio State, Michigan, Toledo, and Bowling Green. He's Blades sports columnist David Briggs, who operates in many, many bubbles. I operate in one Toledo bubble. You like this sweatshirt?
That's pretty sweet, yeah.
Yeah, isn't this cool?
Okay.
Okay, so I'm Phil Kaplan, and the reason I host this show is because I have cool Toledo apparel. Look at this. It's a map of Toledo on the front and the back.
Okay, that's sick.
You see there's the Old West End there, and there's somebody hanging out the top of a car?
Yeah, perfect.
That's me. That's me.
Perfect for the heart of the rivalry. They have the Michigan-Ohio border dispute on there.
Do you know that? I don't think people realize that were it not for the Toledo War, Michigan wasn't going to be granted statehood. The dagger of Damocles that hung above them was like, you got to give Toledo back to Ohio. We'll give you the UP, and if you accept it, you get to be a state. So if it's not for Toledo, we don't have the Ohio State-Michigan rivalry.
Yeah. Well, it's Ohio versus the unincorporated.
I understand. Yeah. But the French, the English, the natives, they're all still laying claim.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's move away from history. We're going to go right into Maction as soon as I read our sponsors, because Dave Briggs was there. This episode is brought to you by Renewal by Anderson and Dale's Bar and Grill in Maumee. Renewal by Anderson, the window replacement experts backed by over 120 years of quality and craftsmanship, from consultation to installation. Renewal by Anderson makes upgrading your home easy, beautiful, and worry-free. And of course, Dale's, whether you're looking for a table for the whole family or just a bar stool to catch the game, Dale's has you covered with a full menu of sandwiches, wraps, and salads. Combine that with 21 beers on tap. Dale's has something for everybody. What did you see last night? Opening kickoff for a touchdown. It had to be exciting. Return of Maction. I know it was the night before, but Ball State had some crazy plays that made ESPN. What was fun?
A lot going on with Maction last night. Toledo beats Northern Illinois 42-3. The good news, awesome scene. Toledo and athletic director Brian Blair, they branded it as Mission Midweek, kind of wanted to pack the glass balls, a showcase for the ESPN2 audience. They wanted to make it a showcase that transcended football. Obviously, it's been a very disappointing season overall relative to expectations. Yeah.
Tonight, can I interrupt? Are we transcending football? Maybe we should stick with the football. A great win. Okay.
Transcending football. You know, it doesn't matter what your record is. Let's show
you have a great time.
The community came out. Yeah. Synergy with the corporate community, collaboration, all those buzzwords.
The shark now? We're on to synergy is heart of the rivalry officially.
It was a great scene. They announced a crowd of more than 22,000, fourth largest crowd at the Glass Bowl in Maction history, the weeknight ESPN games. There had to be at least 15,000 people there, double what there otherwise would have been probably if there hadn't been this season-long marketing campaign to kind of show Toledo at its best. And the dunk tank, Mayor Wade went in the dunk tank. Touchdown tank in record time after the opening kickoff. You had the Oklahoma State trend with the students going up to the corner and waving their shirts around and that viral social media trend. You had the Toledo students as 15 rows strong up in the corner of Section 318. That was cool. There was just a lot of energy in the Glass Bowl all night, kind of again transcended the usual Maction scene. This was a community celebration. The bad news, and it kind of encapsulated the season, Toledo was so dominant that a lot of people probably nationally didn't stay tuned in for too long unless you're paying attention to over unders, and that kind of captured the strangeness of their season.
weren't we at 28-3 by the second quarter?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was just an all-around rout and just kind of continued the bizarre nature of this season. I think I called Toledo the world's most ordinary monster. I mean, they are an absolute juggernaut on paper. They moved into, they are now the number two defense nationally behind only Ohio State, top 10 in Pro Football Focus rankings, best offense in the MAC in pretty much every category. We talked about it last week. They're metric monsters. And yet you watch them dominating in every which way, offense and defense. Then you look and they moved into a tie for Chex Notes fifth place in the MAC. And it's just kind of like, damn, like these games kind of are exciting for the fans and also just kind of equally exasperating because you wonder where is this on the road. And some people will say the home road dominations, the domination at home, the kind of derailing on the road is a product of the schedule. And that's slightly true. But before, not really. I mean, Toledo's had the loss at Western Michigan, good team, but Bowling Green, not a good team. And before this game, the three FBS teams they had played at the Glass Bowl were combined 14-14. So pretty ordinary schedule, and they are just absolute world beaters at home and just can't figure out how to put it together on the road. And the result has been just the strangest season in Toledo history. Fans can debate if it's the most, one of the most disappointing seasons relative to expectations, but it certainly is the most confounding season I can remember for any of our teams.
Let's go down to Columbus, where we were both in attendance to watch Ohio State play Penn State. And as my insider father said, you know, you still have to worry about Penn State because James Franklin, he didn't play on the defensive line. And 17-14 at halftime, you think you got a little bit of a game, but it never felt like Penn State was really going to threaten. There was some, you know, mishaps that created that close score. And then Ohio State out and buzzsawed. There was a Penn State gentleman who was, I think, born around the time Pennsylvania probably became a state, and he was wearing an all-white jumpsuit.
Yeah.
Okay, and he had masking tape on one side of it, and he wrote on it, "One Man Whiteout." Loved that about college. Loved that.
Big time.
Best thing about college football is that kind of spirit. And then, you know,
yeah,
the bubble, for sure, attack.
Yeah. Yeah, it was kind of a weird first half. Seven of those points, Ohio State just gifted them with the, yep, with the fumble, and that was really, Ohio State was the only possible way Penn State could have been in the game. But again, just another monotonous destruction in the end. I mean, it's just
a
kind
little
of
bit.
I mean, I called it like the monotony of excellence. Like everywhere else in college football, these teams and empires rise and fall. Ohio State has just kind of become college football's most indestructible machine. You think they're going to take a step back this year. They lose both coordinators. They're breaking in a redshirt freshman quarterback. They lose 14 guys to the NFL. And I think it's fair at this point to start asking the question, is this Ohio State team better than last year? And I think it probably is.
I think that's a definite yes.
They're going to get tested. But I also think it's interesting. Does Ohio State have five of the top seven or eight players in college football? Because, I mean, you look at, if all these guys were draft eligible next year, Julian Sand, quarterback, currently the new Heisman favorite, he would be drafted top 10. Jeremiah Smith, best receiver in college football, he would certainly be drafted top 10. Carnell Tate, the number two receiver, who would be the number one receiver on every other team in the country,
yep,
he would probably be drafted top 10. You go over to the defense, Caleb Downs, maybe the best defensive player in the country, he would be drafted in the top 10. And then
Sonny Styles,
and then Arvell Reese might be. I said Caleb Downs is the best defensive player in the country. Arvell Reese might be even better. It's a crazy wealth of riches for this Ohio State team. And I don't think we've ever seen. I wouldn't say they're top heavy because the depth is obviously great, but I do think you can say they have five of the top seven or eight players in the country. And I don't know if I'm kind of at a loss because I don't think we've ever been anywhere close to that in any recent college football team, especially in an era where the NIL and all the money that can be spread around the country is supposed to prevent that from happening. How can one team have all the guys?
Now, I memory is going to fail me, but I remember the sentiment that I had around the Troy Smith, Ted Ginn team.
Yeah.
I thought that was the most unstoppable team.
Yeah.
And I think they would have been had Ted Ginn not got his ankle rolled over returning the kick for a touchdown on the first play of the game and then getting hurt.
Or if Troy Smith hadn't had too many In-N-Out burgers and a 51-day layoff.
All that aside, I do think this is the most dominant Ohio State team that we've been privy to see. And I have a question for you.
At least since 2019, which was ridiculously dominant.
I have a question for you. So the big award in college football, of course, Heisman Trophy Award. It's not a most valuable player. It's not a most outstanding player. Okay, what it really comes down to is, who's the most exciting player with the best stats on a winning?
Yeah.
And I get that Julian Sain is the quarterback.
Yeah.
But I don't know how you're keeping Jeremiah Smith out of the Heisman conversation.
Oh,
the
he's
fact
in
that
it.
He's a year, but I think he's the, he's my dark horse favorite. I'm saying like, he keeps playing the way he's playing. Obviously, Julian Sain gets credit for the touchdowns he catches, but. And Sain is good, but Smith will make you look good. That tipped.
Yeah, that tipped, for sure.
I mean, that first of all, that could have been a pick.
Right.
And the way that he collected it and then took a hit and went into the end zone standing up.
I know.
That's wild.
Yeah.
That is wild athleticism and spatial awareness. Amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's a fair point. I mean, Julian Sain obviously is incredible. Completing more than 80% of his passes, and his
that's deep, like a his, video game.
Yeah,
video
his deep ball is pretty is outrageous. I mean, it takes you can be throwing to air in practice, and he's hitting these guys stride.
He gives them a chance to make the plays.
Right. Yeah. But as Penn State's interim coach Terry Smith said, I mean, these guys are ridiculous. Those are the two best receivers in the country, Tate and Smith. They were blowing by, whether it was single coverage, and Jim Knowles, old Ohio State friend, starts off in man coverage against Jeremiah Smith like a total moron. And that went about as well as can be expected. But even as they shifted coverages, I mean, they had no answers. It's just, to have the two best receivers in the country and a quarterback with that kind of accuracy and who can get the ball out that fast. Ohio State still, I guess, I mean, certainly maybe has issues in the run game.
Okay, we'll give you that.
But when you can pass it like that, I don't even know if it'll matter.
They gave up some plays on defense that Penn State on one drive that was a good drive. They got the corner on us about five or six plays.
Right.
Did you see the moment where the Ohio Stadium PA, the scoreboard operators were giving Jim Knowles shade.
Yeah. What did you think about that? I don't know. I mean, I think
I thought it was funny. I've never really seen Ohio Stadium do something
they
quite
did,
like that.
I know. I feel like it's they're trying to be more cool and in tune with the younger crowd and how are you? Yeah. I was thinking, what's that Steve Buscemi meme?
Hey, what's up? He's got the skateboard.
What's up, cool kids?
What is he saying? Oh my god!
I forget
so
what
funny.
It is. But
I can picture it.
I know. Hey, fellow young people, or something.
Yeah.
They did the same thing with Kurt Cignetti last year, where they kind of put Google it and were kind of mocking some of his swagger before the season, and it kind of felt like they were punching down and. I don't know. It was fun and amusing, and you could see even because they were juxtaposing the shots of Jim Knowles, former Ohio State defensive coordinator, against the shots of current Ohio State defensive coordinator Matt Patricia, who has the best defense in the country and somehow is even upgraded over the national best defense from the national champions last year. And the fans are booing, then roaring, booing, then
and
roaring.
They didn't just do it a couple times.
I know.
Yeah,
I know.
Like six or seven times.
I thought. When you're rolling, Jim Knowles helped you win a national title last year. I don't know. To me, it felt like you're punching down a little bit, kicking someone while they're down, and it's beneath Ohio State. I don't mean to sound like sports. Nothing is beneath sports. So, I mean, it should be fun and ridiculous, and college football is nothing if not ridiculous and petty and everything. It just felt – it's not something that would have happened in the Gene Smith era. This is more of a new, I don't know. I don't know what to say. I just thought it was I could have done without it. But
that's why this show is the heart of the rivalry, yeah, Dave. We're honorable men bringing empathy to college football.
There is no honor in college football. So maybe that's the only thing that's beneath college football.
So speaking of, we'll segue this way. Speaking of dishonor, it's an unfortunate situation. Eddie George has to shake up his staff. Things had been going well at BG. I still say even if they lose every game going into the offseason, it's still a success overall. But what's going on down in Falcon Land?
Oh, it's a total disaster. I mean,
back it up.
Yeah, you're right. No matter what happens from here on out, you can't judge anything, really. I mean, this is Eddie George hired in March. A week before the start of spring practice, he has to throw together a staff, bring seven assistants with him from Tennessee State and the FCS, keeps three Bowling Green coaches as holdovers. So you can't really put your staff together. Maybe the staff you otherwise would have in the normal hiring season, you're not really hiring people away in the middle of spring football at other schools. So pretty much we're limited there. I expect them to take a
full. Did you get a call?
I did not get a call yet. I expect them to take a full look at, you know, what's the best staff for a MAC school in Ohio and get a, you know, have a real chance to breathe and fill out your staff. And on the other side of it, even if Scott Loeffler had come back, this was going to be a transition year. I mean, they have 50 new players. I think they have 68 combined FBS starts on the roster from last year on the roster this year. So almost no experience. And now on top of that, BG's down to their fourth redshirt freshman quarterback. So I don't know if anyone could
really
succeed.
Did you get a call?
Succeed. that's coming next. I've seen you throw. Did you get one?
I'm a scrambler. I'm not really a downfield thrower.
But yeah, so that being said, it had been very bad the last few weeks. The loss against Buffalo was the second game in 3 weeks. They didn't score a touchdown. Just the offense was doing nothing. So if you want to have any chance to salvage this season, and they do have three winnable games the rest of the way at Eastern, against Akron, at UMass, I think it's fair to try to shake things up. And Eddie George mentioned there was maybe a difference in philosophies with the coordinator he brought from Tennessee State, Travis Partridge. He did not specify what that meant, but kind of said they want to simplify things and just, you know, play faster and whatever. But again, this is not some alarming thing. I did write that the honeymoon's over in the sense that
three straight losses.
The vibes are no longer immaculate. I mean, go back to the first 6 weeks of the season and, you know, you could not have been rolling anymore. I mean, this is, you had Pudge the Cat, you had the huge crowds, you had the comeback win over Toledo that lit up the town. And then, you know,
well,
then, it,
I,
then
I want to share, I want to share with you a stat that is a unique marker of the enthusiasm that has been injected into Bowling Green. And now, while this show does not advocate for alcohol abuse in any way, what was released was...
Are you leading into the fact
amount of
that
beer...
three Bowling Green players were arrested for assault on Saturday night?
No, not at all.
Okay.
I'm sharing
a
positive
bar
stat.
Fight.
Oh, my God. Way to undercut the good vibes. Hold on.
Misdemeanor assault. We've all been there.
Tell us what happened. No.
I don't know the full story, but there were three players that charged with misdemeanor assault for a bar fight on Saturday night after the game.
So when your season starts to go off the rails, those can be things that start to happen.
Yeah.
And it's just college kids. So right. we're not reading anything into that. And that was not my stat for you. Which is what was released, what I read through Barstool is the most beer sales around the country. And Wisconsin is your leader, okay? But down there at a 25,000 seat stadium at number 15 is Bowling Green. So that just means people are showing up.
Yeah.
Okay. So that alone is something the program hasn't had in a long, long time.
Three huge crowds. It's been a record enrollment, a lot to celebrate at Bowling Green.
I like the rolling pasture around the stadium.
Mm-hmm. It's an awesome tailgating.
The Bowling Green.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. What's going on with Michigan?
Not much. If you watch the game against Purdue, kind of grinded out a win there. I I seriously question whether they can get to Ohio State at 9-2. And if they win the next 2 weeks at Northwestern or against Northwestern at Maryland, they will go into Ohio State 9-2 with a shot of at the playoff on the line. Also, they can make the Big Ten title game and box Ohio State out of it, keep the nation from getting to see that 1-2 Ohio State Indiana showdown that we all expected at the start of the year.
You gonna go to that?
I'm sure. Yeah, that'd be pretty exciting.
Yeah.
You and the old man gonna go to that?
I don't know. I'm pushing to try and get to that one.
Yeah,
I would like to go. I've not seen the game at Lucas Oil.
The tickets will be expensive with Indiana fans, I would imagine. That'll be certainly be a lot of red there.
Maybe I have a Hoosier connect.
Oh, okay. Ooh. Okay. Michigan's just kind of Bryce Underwood, the freshman quarterback, hasn't kind of come along like you would have hoped as a Michigan fan. Justice Haynes, one of the top running backs in the country, is injured. Jordan Marshall, the other running back, is really good. So that's not a huge concern. But Michigan's just kind of grinding along. I mean, they just kind of took all 60 minutes to hold off Purdue on Saturday night at home.
A buzzsaw Purdue. Boilermakers.
The winless in the Big Ten Boilermakers. Ohio State's a 30-point favorite at Purdue this weekend.
You know, Penn State has no wins in the Big Ten.
That is true.
Isn't that nuts?
Yeah. Well, it's just still early.
Okay. So, sorry to interrupt your
talk. No, that's all. I mean, that's just Michigan. It's just kind of a grinding year, and it can be completely salvaged if they're able to upset Ohio State again and make it 5 straight. If not, just kind of another unmemorable year.
But if they, whether they win 70-6 or 17-6, if they make it to Ohio State with 2 losses, it's going to be a big deal.
No matter what they've looked like. No matter what, even if they're 7-4, the game's going to be a huge deal.
Because Ohio State hasn't won in so long and they need it
bad. Right. It's a game they don't need at all and a game they need in every single way.
Historical thirst.
Right.
What games are you looking forward to this weekend?
I think I'm covering Toledo-Marshall men's basketball on Saturday. That's part of the heart of the rivalry.
Oh, man.
An old MAC rivalry renewed in basketball.
Yeah, the Randy Moss. Every time I think of Marshall, I think of Randy Moss.
They're giving out Toddfather shirts to the first 300 students.
For Todd Kowalczyk? Yeah.
So that'll be fun.
Okay.
Not many big games. Michigan's off. Ohio State's at Purdue. BG's at Eastern Michigan, 2-7 Eastern Michigan, and an absolute coin flip. And then we'll probably have time to talk about it next week, but Toledo at Miami in a battle against old friend Daquan Finn.
DQ. Okay, so this look ahead on the heart of the rivalry is brought to you by Renewal by Anderson and Dale's Bar and Grill. Dale's Bar and Grill in historic Uptown Maumee. Catch all the college football action, including the playoff show is back.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. And college basketball.
Nothing better than sitting around at the bar watching the ESPN selection show.
When they hang their hats. That's the people gasp.
So embarrassing.
They gasp. Okay. Dale's is one of the premier Buckeye bars in Northwest Ohio. Wolverine, Falcons and Rockets, all well, of course. HOTR is also brought to you by Renewal by Anderson. Ready to transform your home? With Renewal by Anderson, buy one window or door and get 40% off, but only through the end of the year, which is rapidly approaching. Schedule your free consultation today at renewalbyanderson.com.
Boom. Great show, Phil.
I felt pretty good. We had some fun, you know?
That's what it's all about.
I think, you know, we're I like that. Like that Penn State fan.
Yeah.
Unbubbled and attacked.
And you're a one-man whiteout.
I'm a one-man whiteout, you know, but I'm thriving. Yeah. unbubbled, but thriving.